Here we are. First day of the first week of a new year. I want to thank you for being here because you have done nothing any better to start out this new year. You know, that usually brings about discussions of new things and new resolutions when we come into a new year. And each year we have the opportunity, as Brandon told us a little bit earlier, to possibly renew some of those resolutions. I have the same one every year and make it about a month or so. Then I kind of fall off the wagon, so to speak, and begin eating like there's no tomorrow. And I'm going to work on that today. But the whole purpose of New Year's resolutions is to determine to do something to make one's life better. Y'all notice what I said? I'm going to work on that today. Nobody caught it. Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is our text for this morning. And remember, we're talking about a new life in Christ. There are many people who have not yet entered into a new life in Christ. What a great, great way to start a new year, to become a new creature. In the Colossian letter, the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to those brethren, beginning in verse 1 of what we have as chapter 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which were above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And as we read this particular passage, we think, well, how can we be dead? We're dead to sin, but we've begun a new life in Christ. You know, the words of our text indicate a change in our relationship. And in fact, if we are involved in that new life, yes, there was a change. But let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. And we can see there that we have put off the old and put on the new. And as we have put off the old and put on the new, how we are to act as a result. You know, I think that there are way too many people that would like to think that they are enjoying that new life in Christ and haven't put off the old man. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." The Bible teaches that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it is the spiritual being that we're talking about here. The new life in Christ is a spiritual life. And it is based upon those things which were brought to us by the Spirit, which we now have in the volume called the Bible. But this new life in Christ is conditional upon being in Christ. And I'm afraid that there's not enough people that understand what this means. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 exactly what it means. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, as we read that, as we look at that particular passage, we understand what it's saying. We know what the difference between new and old is. I think just recently we celebrated a holiday, and those who participate in it like to realize and understand that they got some new things. And perhaps because some of their old things were not efficient anymore. Now, we can't replace every old thing in our life. It's a good thing, because some of the old things still work. And some of the old things are still needed. And I'm getting old. I don't want anybody to replace me. But we're talking about a spiritual condition here. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When a person becomes in Christ, they are the same physical being that they were before they were in Christ. They have the same physical attributes. But one needs to know how it is that one becomes in Christ. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, we're told the only way to be in Christ. Just recently, a conversation was had with someone, and they said, "But we're all in Christ together, are we?" Not unless we have become in Christ through the way that the Spirit has directed men such as the Apostle Paul to write to the Roman brethren, which we have here. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we want to be participants in this new life in Christ, we must have been baptized into Christ. Now that doesn't carry very well with some people. Some people, having been immersed at some point in their life for whatever reason, would like to think that that covers everything. That, you know, well, you know, I was baptized when I was just a small child, or when I was just a young man, or when I was in such and such a religious organization. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. We are being baptized into Jesus Christ. It's also pointed out in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And this is something we need to know as we enter into this new year, as we help others, so that they too might have this glorious opportunity. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. One cannot put on Christ or be in Christ unless they have been baptized into Christ. You can take a dog. I used to say a cat, but I don't like getting scratched. But you can take a dog and you can get him over to the trough. And if you're strong enough and fast enough and smart enough, you can put him completely under that water. But all you've done is get a dog wet, get yourself wet in the process, and make an animal mad. You have not baptized this animal into anything. When a person comes to the realization of their soul's true condition and realizes and understands that God has provided a great blessing to all of humanity by giving us his word and the directions by which one can be in Christ, and has provided the ultimate sacrifice for all, then we should want to be in Christ. But remember also that we continue onward after we begin that new life when we are baptized. I said something earlier about resolutions. And it has already been pointed out that the year will continue on whether or not we keep those resolutions. The year will continue on whether or not we participate in the things that are going on in this world. But when we have begun this new life in Christ, when we were baptized, we are to walk in newness of life. We've already read this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, but we're going to read it again. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. What happened at Christ's death? He shed his precious blood. And when one is baptized into Christ, they are baptized into his death. They contact that blood. But it says that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We have an opportunity to start again and to continue onward in service to God because of this new life. This is because before we were baptized, we were dead in our sins. You think, well, I'm not dead. One can truly be dead and be walking around. One can be dead in sin and look very much alive. But when one is baptized into Christ, they die to their sin. They're buried in the watery grave of baptism, and they come forth to walk in newness of life. Afterwards, we are alive, and we must continue in that new life. You notice the same thing with Jesus in John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 7 discussed with Nicodemus. We're very familiar with that particular story. We're very particular with that particular event. We're very in tune, I guess I should say, with that particular event in the life of Jesus. We know what happened there. And it was new news when it was first mentioned to Nicodemus. Unfortunately, today, it's still new news to people. Some people don't understand the new birth. I've had people to come to me and say, you know what? It's a great week. I was born again. What did you do to be born again? Oh, I asked Jesus into my heart, just like the preacher told me to. Really? Well, let's see what Jesus said about the new birth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, why would he answer this question or this situation in such a way? He has just been paid a great compliment by Nicodemus. We need to understand that Nicodemus, being a Jew and a ruler of the Jews, expected, because he was a Jew, that he would be automatically inserted into the kingdom whenever he came. And Jesus wanted him to understand that there was something he must do. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was incredulous. He said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And so these people that say that they're born again Christians and have not been baptized into Christ have not been born of water and of the Spirit. Now, as we enter into this first day of the new year, let's call attention to some new things in Christ. First, let's point out that there was a new name. This is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2. And there it says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord shall name. This new name was going to be named by the Lord. People say, well, we call ourselves such and such and this and that. How did those names come about? Where did they originate? Who started them? Oh, we just thought it'd be a good idea to be called this. What about what God thought would be a good idea? And guess what? The only ones that he called this were those who were in this new life in Christ. We know this because this name is identified in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Talking about the disciples, those who were assembling themselves together. Notice it says, with the church. When he had found them, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This is not a term of derision. It is the name that the Lord named. It's also referred to in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. When Agrippa had heard the things spoken by the Apostle Paul, given to him by the Spirit, in Paul's defense for the reason that he had to appeal to Caesar, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. If I remember correctly, Paul said, I would that thou wast all, not almost, but altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He wanted everybody to participate in this new life in Christ. But as has already been pointed out, it's also a new relationship. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we'll find out what kind of new relationship this was. Previously to our becoming part of the new life in Christ, participating in that new life in Christ, being baptized into Christ, we were under the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13 tells us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I don't know how people can read this verse and say, we're looking for the kingdom. Well, don't look far because it's already here. His word has already proclaimed it. He's already given it a name. But we've got to be a part of that new relationship. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to those brethren to tell them they were already Christians, but they had to separate themselves from the world or those who were not living according to this new life in Christ. He said, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We've already mentioned also the fact that we were made alive in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We find this being stated with a word that we don't normally use, or a word that we don't use in that way. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 of the book of Ephesians, we see, "And you hath he quickened." In other words, you hath he made alive. Kind of goes right along with what we've already pointed out. Those who were dead in sin, when old things passed away, when all things became new, were made alive. And he says here, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the cursed course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." This is written to those brethren to tell them, hey, we all have participated in becoming separated from God by sin. But now, because we have participated in this new life in Christ, because we've been born into the kingdom by water and the Spirit, he's quickened us, he's made us alive. And he goes on to say in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were yet dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." This new life in Christ also not only has a new name, brings about a new relationship, or because of a new relationship, but also we have new friends. You know, it's good to have friends, but you've got to have the right kind of friends. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we see a word that is often associated with meals. I recently was talking to someone, and they said, "When are we going to have another fellowship?" I was here this morning. Where were you? That's the first thing that popped into my mind. But I know what that person was talking about. We need to have more fellowship. We'll go ahead and say everything. We live in a world of abbreviations and that sort of thing, and it aggravates me to death when people can't even say the words that they mean when they're using initials and stuff. And sometimes they'll be talking about things, and I'll have to figure out from the context what they're talking about, because they throw in these initials and those initials. Why didn't you just say a fellowship meal? And there's nothing wrong with fellowship meals, but that's not what this passage is talking about. It says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." This new relationship brings about new friends, and we must have this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we also see in this general epistle, he's writing, and he tells them, "For the time of our life," or the time past of our life, "may suffice us to have brought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." It may for many people be a perfect verse for the first day of the year, because a lot of people participated in excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and all kind of stuff last night. But notice verse 4, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Why? Because you have new friends. You're now a friend of God. You're now a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. You now have brothers and sisters in Christ, if indeed you have that new life in Christ. Why is that? It's because it's based on a new law. Well, it's been in effect for nearly 2,000 years. But this new law, this new standard of living is explained in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 and many other passages throughout the New Testament. But we can read there where he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now this does not mean that one will no longer sin, but that our focus in this new life in Christ should be upon not sinning by doing God's will. This life is full of laws, and because of it, sometimes we suffer. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we see that suffering is part of being a Christian. It's part of this new life in Christ. And yes, friends, we are going to suffer. But when it's all said and done in this life, if we are in Christ, and if we're faithful to what God has written us, we will no longer suffer. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1, beginning, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Verse 5, I'm going to jump forward there. As time getting away from us tells us, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Remember what I said the word quick there means? Living. Those who are alive, who are in this new life in Christ. We're under this new law. We have new friends. We have a new relationship. We have a new name because we have a new object of affection. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 19 through 20, Jesus gave them some advice, and it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. We have the opportunity, beginning today, to participate in this new life in Christ, to lay up treasures in heaven. The brethren in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, which is part of our text this morning, we're told, if ye then be risen with Christ, remember, if you're participating in that new life in Christ, you are risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above. And if you've not done that, you can begin today. That can be one of your resolutions. Well, I can't keep my resolutions. Yes, you can, because along with this new life in Christ, this new name, this new relationship, these new friends, a new law, a new object of affection, we have new strength. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul was writing to people who have the same problems that we have. Oh no, their internet didn't go down. They didn't have internet back then. But the problems of humanity existed then, and sometimes they thought, well, I don't have the strength to go on. The Spirit had him said now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is it that works in us? Well, we can look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. When Paul, guided by the Spirit, wrote to the Philippian brethren, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Yeah, but how does that work? Well, it works the same way that it worked when Jesus was on the earth. When he was being tempted, when he was being tried, in every case, he said, it is written. And we call ourselves smart people. But yet when temptations come, we say, I can't handle this. Why don't we go to the Word of God? Jude, verses 24 and 25. We see this. We see this put forth so that we might understand it. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. How can he keep me from falling? Because it is written. What is written? The Word of God is written. If I know the Word of God, I'm focusing on doing his will. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. have new strength. And we're also reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You are not the first. You are not going to be the last that is going to be tempted in such a way. However, God has promised us. He loves us and He wants us to participate in this new life. And He says there that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Why? Because He wants to be able to present you before His Father as part of that faithful body for which He died on Calvary's cross. You see, because of this new life, we have new blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. We need to understand that when it talks about the new blessings, we are talking about spiritual blessings. We have something that the world does not have. We all have blessings from God. In fact, we are looking out upon some of it now. It is raining. The ground needs it. Maybe tomorrow, or maybe the day after, the sun will shine. All of God's blessings are bestowed upon all of humanity. He makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. But there is something that one who has this new life in Christ has that the world does not have. Spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's important. We have blessings such as the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Remember, He died upon Calvary's cross. He gave His blood. He gave His body so that we might have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Therefore, enjoying these new blessings as part of this new life in Christ, we are to have a new objective in life. A great, great opportunity stands before us right now. And we may not have made your New Year's resolution. And guess what? You don't have to make them before the clock strikes 12:01. You can make it now. You can make it between now and tonight. But we have a new objective in life. What is that objective? It's the same one that Smyrna had. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, He said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Why? Because we have new hope, heaven. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, we have the beloved Apostle John, writing as directed by the Spirit, in this general epistle. He said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God." That's because he's writing it to the church. He's writing it to these people who have this new hope. "And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Remember, that same Spirit had the Apostle Paul to write that we will not all die. Some would be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And look at verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." You know why? It's because we live in a dirty world, a sinful world. And it is necessary that we continue in this new life in Christ, purifying ourselves. And we do so by the Word of God. And He tells us in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 that we have hope of eternal life. I'm really surprised when I talk to people who honestly believe that when they die, that that's it. We watched a movie last night, one that's very popular right now, and one in which a man was able to do some incredible things, and he saved a number of people in so doing. The movie is Sully. And I notice when you're talking to people or listening to people who are involved in that sort of transport, when they always comment about who's on board, they say there are X number of souls on board. It also occurred to me as we was watching this movie last night, he saved 155 souls, by the way. Their body still retained those souls because they did not die. Their souls did not go to be wait until the time of the judgment. Therefore, they had opportunity, perhaps, to put on Christ, to participate in this new life in Christ later on. Hopefully, some of them did, and some of them will. But it occurred to me as we was watching that last night, he said 155 souls. And the way people travel these days, I no doubt that there were some pets in the cargo hold. No souls there. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, you have a new opportunity. That opportunity is yours this morning. And that opportunity has been given to you because you have a soul. That soul will live on eternally. It will exist eternally. And where it exists eternally is entirely up to you. But God has given us this time that we have on this earth, no matter what time it is, to prepare. He's given us this new life in Christ so that He can be our Father, so that we can be joint heirs with Christ, so that we can lay hold on the hope of eternal life. I don't know of a greater New Year's resolution than to become a child of God and begin at that point to faithfully serve Him. Nor do I know of one that is greater for a Christian than to begin immediately at this point and faithfully serve Him. But before a person becomes a new creature, there's some things that they have to know, some things they have to understand, and some things they have to participate in. They do not have to know all of the Bible, because that is a job we're all working on, trying to learn more of the Bible. But you do need to know that you're lost. If you're not in Christ, you're lost. If you're lost, you're on your way to eternal condemnation. You must hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Faith is important. Because in John 8:24, Jesus said that one must believe. "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Having heard and believed, a person is to repent. When those people on the day of Pentecost, when the church began, AD 33, heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, they realized their soul's condition. They were pricked in their hearts, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You know, when they came up out of that watery grave of baptism, they had hope of eternal life. They began a new life in Christ. But they also had to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And then they're to be baptized into Christ. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then, this new life in Christ has begun. But as we live this new life in Christ, we are to strive to remain faithful unto death. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we see, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Why? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Perhaps you've started this new year, and previously you started a new life in Christ, and for whatever reason you've allowed sin to reign in your life. Know that you can come back to Him through repentance and prayer. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, start today. Become new. Become in Christ. Become a child of God. And if you've been unfaithful, make sure that you renew that relationship today. Let's do this together as we stand and sing.